Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
If there's one thing I could encourage people to walk away with, is you can have control of your life and your decision-making processes, and most people discount the role of media and marketing in how they make decisions. But the reality is it plays a much larger role than you think.
Hey there, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. The voice you just heard was Matt Timms. He is a marketer. He works with all different types and sizes of businesses, helping them with their marketing, both on social media and beyond. And we're going to talk about marketing today. So you might be thinking, marketing on a health and wellness podcast? How does that work? Well, if you think about it, you know, really, as Matt says in the opening quote, is that we're affected by our marketing far more than we realize, far more than we want to be. It's designed to do that to a certain extent. And we think about the fact that more than ever in our history of being human, we have more messages, sound bites, advertisements of all sorts, things that are trying to capture our attention and get us to, whether it's buy what they want to sell, use their service, or just plain read their article, because the fact that we click on their article gets them paid. And the health and wellness industry, we can also think about how much of that, we think about how working out and so many of these things have kind of been corporatized and turned into a business. We've been convinced by various marketing that if we don't have the right clothes, if we don't have to go to the right gym type of thing, convincing us to be a certain way and even kind of changing our culture around that. And Matt's going to talk about the principles of marketing. And I love the way he talks about them and kind of brings them down to a basic understanding of not just marketing, but kind of how we function in life. And the point here is to help us to know those things, help us to recognize them so that when we are seeing those things in marketing, they're coming into our eyes or ears, that we're able to kind of understand what's going on and then think past that maybe, and think about how things work for us. So his job as a marketer, of course, is to work with people and help people be seen and help them to be, in a sense, recognized and get the attention drawn to them. Having had the opportunity to sit down with Matt before we even did our podcast, it was a great chance. I had been in a training or two with him, and it was nice to get to know who he is and how he thinks and processes the world and understands the challenges with marketing and kind of the both nefarious stuff that goes on and then the stuff that is about, you know, you're a good person with a good product doing the right thing. How do we get you out there and seen and recognized? And so that's why he's here. And I could go on an intro that could be podcast sized about how this connects with health and wellness. You know, we have so much more stress and mental challenges and just all of these things that are coming at us that we have to sort through. It affects us. It affects our mind. It affects how we operate in the world. And so I think it's an important thing to draw our attention to. It's what we process and then make choices from every day. Matt talks about a book, and I'm just going to mention it here for a couple of reasons that we will understand in a second. There is an amazing book that he turned me on to called Trust Me, I'm Lying. And it is basically from a media manipulator. The media manipulator is telling his story. He's telling things that he has done, how he has manipulated stories, situations, things not even based in fact or reality in some ways, to get people to do something, read something, click, and thus make money. And I think it's a great book for understanding. It's very depressing and it's frustrating, but I do think it's great to understand. It was helpful for me in the fact that I kind of sometimes go, oh, am I being so negative about these things? It's like, no, this is really happening in the world. This is where we're living, and this is the sea we are all swimming in. And if you read his book, it's not like it's stuff you're not going to recognize. These are events and things that have happened. You're going to, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. This is stuff that has happened in the world that has affected people's lives. And in fact, he mentions a situation where people ended up dying for it. So it's sad. It's maybe a little bit scary, but it's very real. And I think it's good for us to be aware of some of that stuff. It's nice to sort of, ignorance is bliss to a point, but usually not, right? I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But I think if we're aware of some of this stuff, we can operate in the world a little more thoughtfully. And that is what Matt is trying to share with you all today. So I brought up the Trust Me, I'm Lying book, and I said that's a little depressive. There is another book that I think couples along with it really well, actually, that is the positiveness of the world that we're living in and the new economies that are being created. And we had the thought of how much fun would it be, sort of, you know, here you can read this marketing book and it's sad and you should know it. But then there's this whole other side of awesomeness. And I think I've mentioned on the podcast before the book, The Art of Asking by Amanda Palmer. And I'm going to talk more about this at the end, but we're going to put a Patreon level in there. So if you are interested in reading those books, we'll put a Patreon level in there so that if you join Patreon at that level, you're going to get both of the books in a format that works for you. And so you can, you know, be sad and then be uplifted and happy. But it explains a lot about why I'm doing the podcast in a sense, like how I am trying to do the podcast differently than most people do podcasts. Talk about that more at the end. Also, before we get into it, I'm also going to share at the end a event that's going to be happening on June 27th here in Duluth, Minnesota on a Thursday night that is basically a podcast party. So stick around to the end to find out more about that. All right, let's head into our conversation. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot. Coming up is a Spirit and Wellness Connection event that's happening downtown Duluth, Minnesota on May 18th, starting at 10 a.m. at the Radisson. And if that sounds familiar, we did an event there last year. We did a live podcast with a panel of folks, and we're going to do that this year too. So it's going to happen at 10:30. And if you go to the website, spiritwellnessconnection.com, you can find out all the information, and there's a place to ask questions, to look at the panels and all of that kind of stuff. So please, please, please take advantage of that. It's nice to have the questions early just so that people can, who are on the panel, can thoroughly answer. So again, take advantage of that. Check it out. Get tickets. All the information is there. It's a very lovely website, by the way, guys. On the website, you can find out about the speakers, the vendors, when everything's going on, all that good stuff. So check it out. Okay, now this time we really are going to get into our conversation. Thank you for, do you prefer Matt or Matthew?
Either one.
Okay.
I think conversationally, people usually say Matt online. I type everything Matthew because otherwise it's funny. Otherwise my name is Matt Timms. And so it's just lots funky, lots of T's. So even like my Instagram handle and everything, all my actual usernames are Matthew R. Timms. Just break it up or something. But it's like, yeah, there's Matt Timms. Or if I say it, sometimes if I introduce myself, people are like, Mac?
Mark, oh, right.
Mark Mick? I'm like, is it that confusing? Like,
it's weird.
How many mix do you know?
Right. Well, I used to have, when I worked for this company, this guy called who ended up being like the vice president of the company, but he would call it, his name was Chuck. And for some reason, whenever he said it, I like, what? Like, it's like, what is, like, Chuck? Like, how many names are like with Chuck? Not so many. Why is this hard?
Yeah. So, like, my name is Matt. Like, Mark? No. Matt. Like, how do you, whatever. So I don't care, as long as people have a clue what you're saying.
Matt's, yeah, right. There you go. All right. So, Matt, welcome. So we're going to have, I anticipate a very highly interesting discussion about marketing and a little backstage, open the, behind the curtain kind of deal. But I want you to introduce yourself. Tell us what you do. Your company is
Squirtology.
Squirtology. Okay. I'm like, in my head, going, wait a minute, I'm missing a letter. No. Squirtology. Okay.
Perfect. Yeah. So my name is Matt Timms. I'm a marketer. I have a marketing agency and several other companies Most of them are related to marketing in some form or fashion, some software projects, but at the core of it, I'm a marketer, I'm an entrepreneur, and that's what I do. And before I get into that, like, thank you so much for having me. This is a lot of fun, and it was really interesting, and maybe you can explain this later too, but we got connected, and we were like, just a friend connected us online about this podcast, and we're like, I don't know how a business guy can do health and wellness. That doesn't make sense at all. And we just got chatting, and we should have recorded it. We had an hour long conversation.
It's really good.
Of the intersection. So what you've got in store for you today is going to be really, really fun. And we're going to be sharing with you, because the reality is you are being influenced by the media, by social media, by traditional press, newspapers, influencers. And that's not good or bad. I'm not making a political statement about media. It's just the reality is it influences you and it influences your decisions. And we just thought it'd be really interesting to have some insight into me as a marketer, what I'm doing to try to influence your decisions. And ultimately, so you can have more control over your life and you can actually be intentional with your decisions and with your life and everything around your wellness. If you can be intentional with it, you have more control. Anyways, so me, I didn't start out as a business person or a marketer at all. It's funny looking back, I feel like I had that entrepreneurial gene in me. You know, from when I was 14, I got a paper out and I outsourced it to my sister. And
I love that. Okay.
I paid her in like chocolate and Christmas gifts.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And then her and my dad, I somehow convinced them that it was a good exercise for them to go out and do my paper out in the mornings. So that was really fun. I think I had it completely off to them for like 2 years where they were doing it and I just get the Christmas gifts and it was really fun. And then like high school, I opened a paintball field. I don't know what, just like crazy stuff. Wow. Where I'm like, I feel like I always saw opportunities and jumped on them, but it wasn't until the past 3 or 4 years, I think I'd really consider myself an entrepreneur. I just kind of did it. So my background though, like back to college, I went to school to be a music teacher.
Sweet.
Degree in music education and certified and trained and professional musician. I still spend good amount of time recording for projects and studios and different fun things like that.
Fun. That's awesome. I'm a music lover, so that's sweet.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So I love teaching lessons. I love performing and just all of it. I still do as much as I can. But so out of college, I was like coming out of it and there's just a number of things going on. But ultimately, I wasn't interested in being a broke teacher or a broke musician. So I was like, why not be a broke music store owner? I just thought that was a better idea. So out of college, I turned down actually a lot of band director jobs and decided to open my own studio. So I was doing clinic work with high schools and writing music for them and teaching a lot of lessons. And it just kind of kept progressing where I would see the opportunity of, I'm already teaching 35 or 40 kids every week. Why don't I sell them stuff too? Why don't I get an official place? And it just kind of started building. And then I was like, why not have other people teach lessons? And it just kind of grew naturally. And for me, I come out of college, and this was probably officially out of college in like 2012. But also 2011, 2010, I had to figure out how to get business. So in that time frame, it was early Instagram. Like this was before Facebook owned Instagram. Mm-hmm. So it was still a new platform. It was still like, it was all the kids were there and food and baby pictures and that was it. And it really made no sense to me at all. But I had to figure it out. So I built my own website and I did my own social media and did all my own Instagram. I just kind of did it all myself because I had to figure out how to do it. And what I realized is that I was actually naturally really good. My dad was always really techie, did a lot of stuff with computers. So I kind of just figured out the code stuff, figured out the technical stuff. And then for me, my approach has always just been educational. I'm a music teacher, so I would just kind of do my artsy thing, and I understand educational psychology, so that's all I would do. I would just put information out there on my website, on social media, that would teach people about something or educate them or entertain them. And now there's buzzwords all around what I was doing, but right. Back then I was like, all I know how to do is entertain and educate and perform. So that's all I did. And And it worked really, really well. And I just realized that naturally I was really good. It was just a really natural convergence of all my natural gifts and skill sets. And so I did that a lot. And then grew my music store. Then in 2016, I got married and moved up here to Duluth, where I'm married and my wife's finishing pharmacy school. And so since then, I've just been doing full-time marketing agency, a few projects of my own. I've worked with kind of the whole spread of businesses, you know, some national brands that you'd find in outdoor stores like Cabela's and Bass Pro. Worked with some small local shops like gyms and weight loss centers. Worked with life coaches and business coaches and e-commerce stores. Work with a former NBA player, some big fashion models, just kind of all over the place, big and small, and it's just kind of fun. And so then for me, probably around 2017, 18, somewhere in there, there's this weird trend that happened where people started doing marketing as like a business opportunity. People started teaching, like, you can do marketing and you can quit your 9-to-5 and you can live whatever, you can live the digital nomad life where you can travel the world and live on beaches and you just get businesses, you get small businesses to pay you $1,000 a month and you don't really even have to do anything. And so I was like, that's dumb. And I was like, that's ridiculous. You get all these people that are gurus, which I'm sure you see in anything health and wellness. You get people where they learn one thing and all of a sudden they're this magical master of everything. And so it frustrated me. So that's when I started actually putting out resources and becoming a name. I don't know if I'd consider myself a guru or expert, whatever. But I was just like, I've owned a business. So I actually know what it takes. Primarily self-taught in everything marketing. And I was just like, you know, I know what it takes. Let me put out some resources to actually just put out good resources for people that don't want to be tricked by all these people who are like, I took one course, I'm a marketing expert, you know, give me all your money so I can quit my job.
Right.
And I was like, no, that's ridiculous. So anyways, did that and just kind of been going from there. I love teaching classes. I love doing workshops. I love working with businesses. I love coaching people. I'm still a teacher. Like, that's really what I love doing. I love doing the marketing, but even more, I love working with businesses, organizations, and just figuring out how can I help you get your message out further and reach more people and impact more people. And yeah, so that's kind of me today, and nice. Really excited to be here.
Well, that's cool too. Just from your teaching perspective, as you know, I can imagine working with you on a marketing project, you're having a different conversation because you kind of have the underlying passion for teaching. So you as a person who might be working with you, I can imagine would experience understanding why you're doing what you're doing and help you move forward with your business. It's kind of more take home, I guess, than sometimes, okay, well, we're just going to do these 5 things and boom, you're kind of sharing a little more of the detail with that maybe.
Yeah, exactly right. It's really the same thing as any health coach. I'm like, I could get you results, sure, but if I'm going to impact your business or your organization, it's going to be far more effective if we actually sit down and I help you understand what's going on. You're going to believe me more, and we're just going to have a greater impact working together, you know, really as partners on this project, opposed to like, you know, don't touch my marketing, you do your business and I'll do your marketing and don't ever talk to me. I'm like, no, it's really a collaborative, like, yeah, totally. I think you're exactly right.
Nice. Okay. So let's talk about your experience with marketing, your experience with psychology and teaching and all of those things come together. So, like I said, we're here to sort of talk about what's going on behind the scenes of marketing. Because like you say, it's all about how much money do companies spend to understand the psychology of influence. I mean, it's billions of dollars. It's not a portion of the budget. It's a big portion of the budget. So it clearly works. There's clearly something in it, because if they weren't getting good ROI on that, they wouldn't be spending it. So if that's the case, there's a lot going on. And like you were saying, it's just that basic media. I was just listening to a podcast that was talking about some things that had happened in the news stories a few years ago. And they were digging into the details. So here's the 5 headlines. But then let me tell you what actually happened. And when you hear that, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so sad. These people's lives were destroyed. Or we all think these people are horrible people. And no, they're not. You know, the media just took it and ran in this really scary way. And I know you're obviously talking more in the advertising side of things, but it still kind of applies. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. Let's just jump right where you left off. The reality is media, it is what it is. You know, they have a few jobs. Companies are investing millions and billions of dollars in advertising to know how to influence you. And you're being influenced by media. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. And it's hard because it doesn't always look different if it's good or if it's bad. It can look exactly the same. And so really, I think our big purpose here is like, let us help you understand what's really going on. And because people, like, there's just increasing rates of mental health issues, and I'm not a mental health expert by any means, but just increasing rates of depression or suicide, especially younger generations. And for me, I think part of it is because there's this massive influence on people because of the media, because of celebrities, because of social media platforms, because of news outlets. Like, there's just an increasing thing. So I guess I just want to piggyback off what you said. Just to start, traditional media, like newspapers, anything like that, they are a business. I think people sometimes forget. Right. And they don't make money just by reporting on news stories in the best way possible. They make money by selling ad spots on their website in their newspaper. And so their number one goal is actually to get you to click and to go to their website. Their number one goal is not to report the best news. Like, it's just true. Their biggest goal, the biggest ROI they can have is just by what headline, what image, what verbiage, what story is going to get you to their website for the longest period of time so they can show you the most amount of ads. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine, like, it just creates this terrible ecosystem of some stories are good, some are terrible, but ultimately it's whatever they can get the most attention with. And whoever can report on it the fastest, not the most accurate, but the fastest to get the most virality and get the most polarization and the most arguments and the most exposure, because whoever can do that's going to make the most money. So it's like, we'll get into the less depressing side of it all. But that's just the reality, is especially traditional media, like their role is to get eyes, to get eyes on the advertisements that people are paying them for. And the more they do that, the more they win, the more money they make. And I'm not saying every person in those organizations is wicked and evil. I'm not saying every news outlet is wicked and evil. But that is how the business works, is if they can get eyes, they make money. And so they're always testing hundreds of headlines and images and what's going to get the most exposure for them.
It's so painful. You know, you want media to be the thing that gives you information so you can be a smarter, more informed person. Is the glam really catching us, and is that helping us live a more authentic life?
it's tough because you really never know. You know, a lot of times you're anchored by the first thoughts, like first impressions. It's a real thing. Your brain creates that first picture, and it's a lot of work to overcome whatever your brain decides it saw. Like, it's a lot of work to try to change that. So when you see something, it's tough to like convince yourself a story's not real, but it's so difficult because the whole system perpetuates itself. Mm-hmm. You know, you get angry, and rightfully so, about whatever a parent, terrible, I don't know why my brain went here, whatever, but like a mom who abuses her kid, and you see a headline and you freak out and you put this whole social justice mission around it, and you're like, yes, they got their YouTube channel shut down and all this terrible stuff, and later you find out it was a hoax, and you're like, well, was it good? That, like, if it wasn't happening, but it got me to do something, maybe mm-hmm. it was good. Like, it's far more complex than just like, stop it. It's like, I wish it, I don't actually have an answer of how to solve it. I don't really want to try to solve that today. Right. But yeah, it's like, but it has a big influence on you. And it's like, you want to be educated, you want to take part, you want to live intentionally, but there's so many voices that really have the goal of making money that it's hard to know what's factual, what's understanding where the biases are,
right?
Especially, you know, right or left or whatever. We have these notions that certain media outlets have certain biases, but I think more and more the bias is whatever's going to make them money. Mm-hmm. Because they're all struggling too.
Right.
It's just the truth. So they're struggling. So it's money driven because they're all going to go out of business otherwise.
Right. Yeah. They're fighting for the eyes because there's a lot of places to put our eyes on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So what do we do about that?
What do we do? So I think that's the whole point of today. Like I want to walk you through just some basic marketing principles and what me as a marketer, how I'm trying to influence your decision-making process. And the ethics behind it, for me, it's if I have something to sell you that I truly believe in that will actually be a positive impact on your life, it's actually the right product or service for you right now, and it's at a fair price where your return is going to be worth it, where the value it's going to provide for you is more than you pay, then I want to leverage these to help you actually get that. Because just like we see these negative things, we approach everything and we're going through a number of factors to decide if we want to make this decision. And because humans are emotional decision makers, mm-hmm. As much as we want to think like, no, I think through stuff. It's like, no, you make decisions with your emotions. First and foremost, I want to understand what those emotions are to help you make the right decision. So I'm going to quote 6 principles of persuasion. There's a book, I think it's just called Persuasion, but it's by Dr. Robert Cialdini. He has a couple books out there, just definitely in the business sector, but it's marketing psychology, it's decision-making, it's influencing people. And so whenever I'm building a website, or I do a lot of like social media ads, I'm doing Facebook ads, I have a lot of these principles going through my head because I want to connect with people in a way that's going to help get them to the actual decision, you know, where they can overcome the objections they have about me or about somebody else. I'm just going to read through them all. The reality is they're just hardwired into us. It's not good or bad. So don't hear one and think, oh no, that's terrible. Like they're neutral. It's just the reality. They all persuade you and they're all principles of persuasion. So the first one is reciprocity. If I give you something, you naturally want to give me something back. Mm. It just is what it is. Second one is scarcity. And we all want something that we can't have or we think is going to go away. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, anytime there's an event, and most of us probably fall into this category, we buy tickets the final week. It's been promoted for 8 weeks and then it sells out the week of, and then we're like, but yesterday it was only half full and today it's gone and it's tomorrow. What happened? Where'd they all go? You know, because there's no pressure on us thinking like, I don't think I'm going to be able to go. But as soon as we have this idea that I might not be able to get it, that's when we want it. It's, you see kids do it all the time, right? Nobody wants it until someone else has it.
Yep.
And it's,
you gotta have it.
I know, right? Give me the toy. It's scarcity. So it persuades us. The third thing that he talks about is authority. This can look a number of ways, but a lot of times it can look like accomplishments. I have XYZ degrees, or I've been featured in, you know, magazines with a lot of clout or publications, or even like an endorsement by a celebrity. If I have somebody really well known, if the mayor of my community endorses me as a marketer, I'm going to be able to sell my service to local businesses really easily. Mm-hmm. Because there's a certain amount of authority there.
Right.
And so people trust authority. The fourth one is consistency. And this is a number of things. People trust people who are consistent, whether it's a schedule thing. You know, if you're in the same place at the same time every single day, people begin to trust that. And or it can be consistency in communication, consistency in the message that you're putting out, or consistency in if you're always joyful when you're around people, or you always help people smile, like people trust you more. Just because you're consistent. Uh-huh. And there's just a certain opposed to if you're up and down and every day you're different. We all know somebody like that, right? Where it's like, you never know what, you know, how they're going to be. Like, right. How is Susie going to be when she shows up today? I don't know. Watch out. Like, we just don't know. But people who are consistent, we trust them. Mm-hmm. And the fifth one is liking. At the end of the day, we like people who are similar to us. Mm-hmm. It can be that look like us. It can be that live in similar places, have similar hobbies, like the same sports teams, drink the same kind of drinks. Like, it really can be anything. It doesn't have to be related to what you're being persuaded about. If you have a similarity, mm-hmm. like, you have more trust.
Right.
Just by default.
Yeah. And you hear that. You know, like, they like pineapple on their pizza. I like that guy.
Yeah. I know he's good. He's a Matthew. It's like, oh, what? Do you know what you just said? Yeah, no, it's exactly what it is. Or you gather in the same place, or you have offices in the same workspace, or whatever it is. If you have similarities, you're going to connect better. You're going to have more trust. It just is what it is. And the sixth one is consensus. And this is probably one that's most easily manipulated. But if you might hear talk about like social proof or the mob effect. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's a new restaurant in town, and for the first week there's a line out around the curb, and you see that line every single day, two things are going to happen. For one, it's an endorsement that that place is actually good. You don't even know what's in there. But just the fact that everybody's doing it, you're assuming it's something that you want.
Right.
And you start to trust it. And second thing is, you want to be a part of that. It kind of ties in with the scarcity. Like, you don't want to be the one person that didn't eat there during the opening week.
Right.
You don't, because you want to be relevant. You want to be able to connect to people. It's like there are two sides to all of these things. Like, just stretching out that example a little bit. There's a line out around the corner for a restaurant. You want to go in because you just see a lot of people doing it. So it's an endorsement. You think everybody else likes it. So you want to be like everybody else. And so you want to like it. There's a certain amount of authority just because literally everybody in town is there. There's probably going to be a news coverage because of everybody around the corner. Like, it just, all these things that work together. And the reality is, we just want to fit in. We want to like each other. We want to be comfortable because we're habitual people.
Right.
So at the core of it, all of our marketing, we're trying to kind of walk ourselves through some of these principles, and we're trying to relate to you, and we're trying to meet you where you're at. We're trying to speak your language. You know, first of all, we want you to pay attention at all. Like, anything, you know, there's a lot of, everyone's heard the word clickbait. Mm-hmm. You know, by definition, it's not just a really catchy, really ambiguous headline, but clickbait is where the headline is completely misaligned with what the deliverable is. Mm-hmm. So if I say, you'll never guess what came out of this elephant's mouth, and then I try to sell you a supplement on the landing, like on the website, that's clickbait. It's completely misrelated. But if it's just shocking, like, it's catchy. I got you to stop. I delivered exactly what I told you I was going to deliver you. It's just a creative way of saying it.
Right.
And so marketing is like, we're trying to A, get your attention, and then build a relationship with you, which is all of these principles of persuasion. We're trying to build this relationship with you where you trust us enough and you can make an ethical decision whether our service or business or product is the right fit for you. And then ultimately get you to actually give us money in exchange for something that's going to provide value for you. Whether it's TV, whether it's social media, at the end of the day, there's persuasion going on in all of them. And it is affecting you. You can deny it, but the reality is it is every single time.
It may still bring you to a place of thinking about it a little differently, perhaps. Like, if you're aware of those things, you might be able to stop and kind of go, okay, wait, you know, oh, I see what they're doing there. But ultimately, we're still pulled in by that and still influenced.
Yeah, I mean, let's just do an exercise. Like, if I say, hey, there's ice cream in the lobby, there's only one cone left, do you want it? Like, if everyone freezes for a second, and you actually think, your first reaction is, I think I do. Or at least, at very minimum, your reaction is, I need to decide right now how bad I want it.
Right.
Like, if I just say, hey, there's ice cream in the lobby, you go, okay, awesome, thanks. You know, I'll come out there sometime.
Right.
If you go, hey, there's ice cream out in the lobby. There's only one scoop left. Do you want it? You have to decide really fast. It's the ultimatum. Do you want it or do you not right now?
Right.
Yeah, and like you said, it's not about, like, that these are good or bad, but they're affecting you. And if you can be aware of what's really going on online in companies, I think you can make better decisions. But they're still going to influence you, absolutely. I know exactly the tricks that are happening every single day, and they're still twisting me around.
Right. So. See, that's good to know that you right. as the marketer are still influenced by it.
Every day.
It's not like reading all of the books and understanding it that you will just become this perfectly, you know, logical, everything will be made on a huge metric system and you will make all the right decisions and know the people are phony or not phony or whatever the case might be, you know. And then that's the hard part. It's the not knowing. You know, it's like you're saying with the whole, there's 10 seats left. And when I you know, so, oh my gosh, there's 10 seats left. I gotta go, right? I've had the experience of there's 10 seats left, and then you get there and you're like, wait, I'm like, me and four other people are here, and there's like a lot more people, and then you feel totally duped, you know? And then there's the time where it's like, nope, there's really only 10 seats left, and you know, they're gone, and you miss your chance because you were number 11, and then you're like, you know, when do I listen and when do I not listen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a sucker for it too. Yeah, and you know, there's good. So I'll walk you through the good. If somebody does this really good, I'll talk through a good example, and then we can talk through, you know, some bad examples and things to look out for. I think being aware, like for one, you do make these decisions. So if somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, this is really different, but I want you to hear me out." Understand that if they present something in a way that's actually going to change your life, but they are really bad at hitting on these principles of persuasion, you might not naturally want it. So for me, I can actually go through and say, why don't I want it? Is it because nobody's doing it? What it's all emotional. So I can just say, is it because nobody's doing it? Is it because nobody's endorsed it yet? Whatever it is, are they just really bad at having a conversation with me? But on the flip side, if somebody's able to really successfully walk me through this process, I can also decide, assuming that I trust them enough and that it's what they're offering, they're not just bait and switch.
Right.
But if they do it, like on the really honorable side, people who are very skilled at this are skilled in having sales conversations. For me, they're able to help me get past all of my objections.
Mm-hmm.
If I am an addictive smoker, like the person who all I say is, you got to change, you got to quit. It's like, like that doesn't work. Anybody who's been addicted to anything or addicted to your phone, whatever, just right. You don't just like poof change. Something has to happen. So to have somebody who's really skilled in helping you overcome your objections on why you can't, ultimately every day you've told yourself, I can't quit because I need one every morning, or mm-hmm. It's my excuse to get out of work, or I'm too bored, whatever it is. You have excuses. I can't because if somebody who's really skilled can walk you through this process to get rid of all those objections where ultimately you're able to say, you know what, I can. Now I don't have any more excuses. I can see it's a good fit. Now I just actually have to decide yes or no.
Right.
And for me, it's finding somebody who can do that is actually really highly valuable. Even in Europe, like that's probably literally the role of life coaches and health coaches and all those things is walking with you and helping you overcome these objections. Why aren't you making progress? It's not just poof magic.
Right.
They're helping you relate to the result you want or whatever it is.
Right. And connect and really get that stuck inside your brain and help you find that motivation to go, okay, it's time now, I got to do this. And it's, yeah. You know, we see it all the time. Why is one person can connect or say the same thing as another person, but it's the right time, it's the right person. They hit on something that you just clicked and you're like, oh my gosh, yes, of course. Well, why? Yes, of course I need to do this. Your motivation skyrockets. Mm-hmm. And it's, we are complex creatures.
Yeah, we totally are. But yeah, emotionally, when we get excited about it, we're gonna we're gonna decide. But it's getting you excited about it,
and it's I think just what you're saying too. You know, there are the people who aren't the natural marketers, and I think people get passed up because somebody doesn't have the they haven't tried to sell you. Yeah, I run into that challenge with my own podcast. You know, I'm giving away health and wellness information, right? That people have told me how valuable it is and how they've found practitioners that have really helped them or whatever the case might be. But I'm not out there trying to manipulate their brain, which is apparently my mistake, right? So, but it's the, you want people to rise above that somehow and just see the value. And I see that with practitioners of like, oh man, this person, the world needs to know they exist because they are so amazing, but they get lost in the non-fancy shuffle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, to your point, the people who are natural at it, like, they're doing these things. These aren't principles that somebody just made up. Like,
right.
They're actually fundamental to just relationships in general. You find people, if you ever walk away from a conversation, you go, wow, I really like that guy. Like, if you actually think back through and you go, oh, he asked me questions until he figured out my dog's name was Tina. And then his dog's name is Tina, or he has a, you know, third distant aunt whose name is Tina, like whatever.
Right.
Like you walk back through and you go, you actually talk to them. And they go, oh, they found a point of similarity. They found a way to encourage me and provide value. If I compliment you, hey, I really like your glasses today. You're like, oh, thank you. Like, I like your glasses too. Or I'm not wearing glasses, but whatever.
Right.
Like, they're doing these things naturally. They're triggering reciprocity, saying, hey, I really like that. They're providing value, encouragement in some way.
Right.
And so they're providing that, and they're saying, finding some point of similarity, whatever it is. Like, people do this stuff naturally.
So the marketing and advertising and ads are, they're like life, but amplified and more directed.
Yeah. We're trying to figure out why people like each other and then just do that for us,
right?
And make people like us. What we as humans do naturally, some better than others. We're just trying to figure out how to do that for our products and our brands and,
right,
and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And the good people, like, help you make a good decision and help you as well find good products and services that can actually help you and change your life. But then there's the other side of people, especially in internet world, who are just trying to sell you the next supplement, who are trying to sell you the next diet program, who are trying to sell you the next, you name it, every industry has it. I think health and wellness is one of the worst, and fitness and quasi all related, but like it's some of the worst of people who get a single result and then they're selling this big program,
mm-hmm,
or this new pill or this new diet or this new wrap or this new whatever.
Right. And it is the answer to everyone's, you know, whatever, even though it might have worked for them and maybe it was their answer. And we fall into that. And there's nothing wrong with them putting their stuff out there and say, holy cow, look what this did for me. Like, that's fine. Share it for me. That's what, you know, that's how we figure stuff out.
Yeah.
But you're right. But it is that. But it is the answer. And yeah, I'm guilty of that. Falling into that trap, you know?
Yeah. I hope I can say this. But I think, especially health and wellness, like, sorry if I offend anybody ahead of time, but I think MLMs are like some of the worst at misleading people, mm-hmm, that they understand these principles and they're really, really, really good at it because they have to make them replicatable to make everybody else be able to follow them as well to get more people to buy in and more people to join. And I'm not saying there aren't good products, but just the market as a whole, especially in health and wellness and everything, they figure out these principles and just use them, just kind of over-exaggerated them. And they make you have a certain affinity towards something that really might not be a good fit for you. But I don't know anybody who owns an MLM, like the actual top or anything like that. So I don't know people who started it, but I know the industry, like it's set up in a way where the whole goal is to get people to buy into the business, really doesn't have anything to do with the product, but they make glamorous claims about, like, you know, borderline false claims about stuff. And they're trying to use these principles and paint this picture that it is for you and that everybody is doing it. And look at how much has already changed the world. And they're using these things just at a level that gets you, that really twists your emotions in a way and forces you to make this decision where it's not actually related to your health and wellness. It's not actually like a good business decision for you. Mm-hmm. But they do it in a way where they kind of wrench you on all of these points where they pull your emotions so heavily that you have no choice. Feels like you have no choice.
Right.
But, you know, it's like you're in the middle of this herd and everybody's running towards the edge of the cliff and you're like, I can't actually stop. But, right. Like, it's, they're so good at it. And it's not just about the product, but they're getting you to buy in. And it's like, it can be very deceiving. And it's, I'm not saying products are bad or there are bad people, but I just think they're masters of persuasion.
Yeah, I have a very complicated relationship with MLMs because some of my best friends are MLM people. And I belong to one or two of them myself because I like the product. But I have done some MLM stuff in the past, but the hardest part was I'm not a salesperson. Like, I'm not going to go sell you the program. And I hate that. I hate when I go to some event and I want to learn about it and all I learn is the business opportunity. Because it's like, well, if I can't understand the product, because that's what I want to lead with. I was part of an MLM years ago and it was a very expensive product, but it was a very good product. I knew people who had literal life-changing differences. And I love the fact that they had really good trainings, but then I get so frustrated when we would go product trainings. That's what I was excited about. Tell me the stuff, the science. Tell me what this is doing. I'm diving into that. And the rah-rah stuff was like, can we let this stuff go? You know, why? And it was my frustration about living in a world that we needed the rah-rah. You know, like, I understand the rah-rah. That's why you're a marketer. I mean, you know, it's part of... is what makes it work.
Yeah.
You know, it is the reality. Like you say, it just is the reality. But it's always like, oh man, if people could just see the reality of what we're trying to, the product that they're trying to get instead of the rah-rah, right? And I think you're right. I mean, I know you, in our conversation about this, you quoted a statistics that I know I have read in other places too about we get into the MLM and we get really excited about it, but how many people actually make money?
Almost none. So yeah, the statistic is the FTC, so Federal Trade Commission, 99% of people that go into MLMs lose money during the venture. That it's a loss. And I get it. Some people, it's a hobby, or some people really do like the product. Right. And that's cool. But you don't buy in as a team member just because you like the product. I get there's a discount, but you got to have thick skin to like to make it through and actually only buy the product.
Right.
Yeah. And so for me, it's frustrating because I think it disables people from actually making really good decisions about the products. For, you know, me personally, like I'm very turned off. Everybody's had their newsfeed at some point on Facebook clouded by people promoting a wrap or promoting a pill or promoting a spray or whatever it is. And the thing that's frustrating to me is I know there are good products. I do have a couple good friends that have done really well in a few MLMs. But what's frustrating to me is that even though I know they have the endorsement on the product itself, like nobody endorses the product without the incentive that they're going to try to make money somewhere on the back end.
Right.
And the structure of it, the whole structure of MLM, the biggest incentive is to get more people to promote to more people. And you don't make a lot of money by selling the product because that's hard. Like you actually have to run a real business, a real product-based business, which is a lot of work. And it takes and I'm not trying to discredit people as you don't own a real business. So don't read into this further than what I'm saying. But like, you really have to run a smooth business to make money selling products. I ran a music store for 7 years, long enough to know that it's really hard to do retail and have it not be a proprietary product. To sell someone else's product is a lot of work to make money. It's really, really, really hard. That's why local businesses come and go every day. So they know that they're not going to change the world and get the virality that they're after just by telling people, go sell more of the product. They need to get people on a different angle besides excited about the product. And so they get excited about the life-changing opportunity. It's not the life-changing opportunity that this product, this pill changed my life. It's the, you can leave your day job. Right. You get this free car. We're going to fly you out to Hawaii and reward you because of how much impact you've had on the world by getting more people on our team.
Right.
I'm like, there's nothing about the product. Yes. It's so frustrating. Yes. But they've invested so much money to like, well, let me just pull that list up again. Authority. Every one of them have official stamps, big celebrity endorsements. Some of them have research foundations and different things that are like giving their stamp of approval. Are they good products? Probably. Absolutely. That's not really what they're selling. They're going through this list and saying, yep, I need to make sure they like us enough to get them in on this big opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so they go, reciprocity. Yep, it's good enough product to get them in. I've given them free product. Have you ever been to a... you know, an MLM dinner or a, what do they call, house parties. Have you ever been to an MLM house party that doesn't have free stuff? I've only been to a few and they all have free stuff. Like, that's the point. Yeah, I give you something, you're going to give me something back. Right. Scarcity, sign up tonight. This is the last time. I can only offer you this one time. You can't get in on this ground level investment. We've all heard that. Like, you're going to get on the ground floor.
Right.
In some way, they're positioning as a ground floor. It could be in this neighborhood, ground floor, and have you ever heard anybody selling this in your sphere of influence? Whatever. It's something that says, this is it. If you miss this, you're going to miss it.
Right.
Authority, they get some government stamps and some whatever, some organization consistency. Everybody says the same thing because people are creative. They also kind of box you in, like, just truth. I know people who are in it. I've tried to help people who are in MLMs. I've tried to help them market and sell products, and they put you in a box. And they're like, if you're talking about this, you can only talk about it one way.
Yeah.
You can only sell it one way. You can only promote it one way. And they're super consistent. So it's the same messaging everywhere. You know, the liking, it's your friends. Like, that's a huge one. You know, they're getting your friends to sell it to you so they don't have to, like, sell it any other way. You know, if your friends are doing something to you, that's how they get you in.
Right.
Because you don't have to be good at selling any other way. And
and then you feel really good because you've, especially if, you know, when you do believe in the product, which most people that I know really do. That's why totally. They're even there, right? So they're excited that they're helping their friends and their family, and that makes sense. And then you're trying to build and build and build and build, and then it's like the stress of that. You know, I'm always impressed when somebody has something that I find out is an MLM, but they never talk to me about the MLM. It was always about, this is, you know, a particular article of clothing that the woman that I saw promote it. Never, I didn't even realize it was close to an MLM type of a product because she never shared that. It was all about, look at how this affects my, let me show you. And it was because it had changed her life. So she was in the change my life camp, and this isn't how I make my money, but dang it, you need to know about this because if it can help you, this is a big deal. I was so impressed with that. Mm-hmm. And that drew me to her specifically because it's like, dude, you're not trying to sell me and tell me that I'm going to make the next million. I'm happy to make the next million. Don't get me wrong. But my God, if you're that passionate about it and that's where you're standing and this is worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
It's tough because that's not where people actually are making money.
Right. True. Very true.
It's,
yes.
Like I said, it's really, really hard to make any money that's worthwhile.
Right.
Especially when you have to try to figure out, like, labor costs of trying to fulfill. Like, it takes so much time. Even people who are making money selling products, air quotes, right? Making money selling products, like, they're putting in so much extra time. There's right. no way they actually are.
Right.
And it's frustrating because you've all sat through a slide deck. Let me just share one of the lines that I hear. I'm not saying that this cures cancer, but look at Frankie. Had cancer, started taking this pill, doesn't have cancer anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what did it.
Right. Yeah.
But you see what I see.
Right.
And right. you go, oh my goodness, it must be.
Right. And right. Like, and some people use that nefariously, and some people are using it because it's their experience and they're trying to get a... They're trying to say it legitimately, but it is. But you're right. It is. It's that game, and it's the what we're helping you tie together.
Yeah, and the reality is, like, yeah, it frustrates me.
Right. I'll totally
say it. It really irks me because I feel like it can be so deceptive that it's not actually an opportunity.
For the right few people, it's a great opportunity.
The way to be successful is to be really great at being a sales trainer. If you're really great at training salespeople, you can crush it. But that's the only way.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only way you're going to be really great is by training salespeople.
Right. And that's a good skill set. And if you're working with somebody who's a great trainer, you can learn a lot from that. So there are benefits to be had.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Like, if that's you and you're doing it that way, great. Absolutely.
Right.
Go for it. But if your opportunity says, if you just get three people who get three people who get three people who get three people, we're going to fly you to Hawaii.
Right.
I'm like, no, that's, and you're doing this all under the guise of that we're really just trying to impact the world with better health products.
Right.
I'm like, I don't think so. Here's the thing. Social media is pretty stiff. Like, I read Facebook policy, absolute nerd. I read Facebook policy, like, weekly. It changes
wow.
so much that for me and my clients, I have to figure out how to stay compliant.
Right.
And they're very strict about selling business opportunities. They'll shut down your entire ad account really fast if it's something now, like, join my downline, or even for me, it's really tough to even, I know enough and I have Facebook reps enough where I can do it completely ethically, but it's really difficult to even market my own marketing services on there because I'm making statements about, like, look what we did for X client. We turned $30,000 of ads last year into $100 million of home loans, or it's really difficult to even market my own services because it's around money and kind of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that MLM opportunity is strictly forbidden to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way people can do it is the only way you can actually be successful and not sell to your family and friends is by selling the lifestyle. And so you see a lot of people who their Instagram feed is full of beach photos and big planes and whatever. And then every once in a while, you'll see a post or Instagram story slip in there that says, hey, do you want to know how I did this?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I flew on this plane for free. Do you want to figure out how?
Right.
And, like, that's the only way to really make a lot of money, unless you're phenomenal. Like, I'm not trying to say there's literally no other way. But that's the way to really scale and really make crazy amounts of money is by selling the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's just proven. The people who do it, that's what they teach you to do. You know, post about all the great things that are happening in your life and then private message everybody and say, hey, do you want in? Do you want to come to my
right.
party? It's frustrating because there are great products.
Right. But they get missed in the shuffle because people kind of like, I don't want to get into that.
I've probably missed out on some. And, like, so this is a message as much for me. Like, I've probably missed out on some great products that could truly help me and, like, kick my coffee addiction. I don't know. Like, I drink crazy amounts of coffee. Like, there's probably an MLM that could have helped me that I turned down because I even find myself putting up walls when, even if somebody like your friend where they give me a product for free, I even buy some from them or whatever, And then, but once I figure out it's an MLM, like, I immediately put guards up, like, mm-hmm. nope, I don't even want to talk to you anymore, because mm-hmm. you just sold me a product that's an MLM. Mm-hmm. Like, get away from...
It's terrible. But I think a lot of people who have kind of a history, you know, I know people who they're like, oh my God, whenever somebody invites me to dinner, it's like this fear goes through me. Like, there's a script that Amway used to use. I don't think they're called Amway anymore. They used to use that was just like, oh no, you know, and you're like, I want to go and I want to do that. I want to help my friend, but oh my God, I'm not going to get out of there alive. And you start to feel negative about it. And that's, you know, I've seen friendships ruined. I've seen families like, gee, I can't even go to Christmas with this person because they just are always, you know, talking about either, like you're saying, sometimes it's the things that they've gained, which is great that they're gaining things. But sometimes I'm like, look, if your company can afford to give so much away, could you maybe lower the cost of your product so that more people could afford it? Mm-hmm. That would be nice.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, for everybody listening, it's like, I feel like this is a long rant. Yeah. But like, the reality is, like, I'm not even in health and wellness. I'm not going to say I don't care about it, but it's like, you look at my online behavior or whatever, it's just not a community I'm involved in. And I get hit up all the time. And it's like, it makes me feel like garbage when I see another person, you know, promoting another thing on their Facebook feed and starting another Facebook group and throwing out insane results that don't actually happen and starting a group challenge that you have to buy their product to do, where I'm like, people aren't actually trying to invest in a business. I know, because I literally have conversations with tons of people, and I tell them, I say, what you're doing, if you're actually trying to make money by selling this, that's totally cool if you do, but if you're actually trying to make money, you're not going to do it following those steps. It's just true. You're not going to do it. And so people that are close to me that are doing stuff, I say, like, work on a brand that's not just the product. Like, if you're trying to sell something related to weight loss, talk more about weight loss lifestyle and include product. Like, have a message that's not just the product you're selling. Mm-hmm. I say it's going to take a lot of work to build trust if you don't just want to burn people out. Build community around, build some brand that's not just the product itself. And I'm like, it's going to take a lot of work. You have to build a lot of trust. You have to actually get results for yourself and be able to back up and tell your story with it. Like, have a story that uses whatever you're selling. And what happens over and over is nobody's actually listened to me. people don't have to listen to me and one person, whatever. But the frustrating part about it is for me, it just tells me that every person that most people I've seen buy in because they're stuck in this opportunity of, you want to make some extra money, you want to get out of debt a little bit, you mm-hmm. want to pay off your car early, you want to put your kids through college. This is a great thing to do on the side. Right. Not a big deal. And I see people over and over that are like sucked into this opportunity. And they're like, if I just follow their steps, you know, look, it looked so easy to be able to get up to extra $1,000 a month.
Right.
And like, it's frustrating because there are good products and there are possibilities of changing your life, but it's like, it's diluted in people who are really good at thinking you're being sold a product and thinking you're actually buying into a social mission opportunity to help impact lives for the better. And I'm not saying none of that happens.
Right.
But you think you're being sold that, and then all of a sudden you're kind of being sold a biz op that's just going to get the person ahead of you a couple extra bucks. And they're just churning through people until they find the small handful that are actually going to do something. And by do something, I mean they're going to go off and recruit more people. And it's frustrating because I just see people that get churned through. And it's the next opportunity and the next opportunity. And it's like, if you really believe about the life-changing mission of the product you're using, why was it so easy to let it go? Mm-hmm. And how are you so fast? If you were, you know, a brain expert about this drink, this tea formula or whatever it is, That's going to change the way your brain processes chemicals. I don't know if that's real. So if there's actually one out there, I apologize. I'm not actually trying to... I'm trying to not use real examples. But like, whatever. If you actually believe that and you're actually an expert and you actually spent hours of research and you actually really bought into that, we wouldn't see people jumping opportunities all the time. And it's frustrating because... It's made people very skeptical, myself included, skeptical of everybody mm-hmm. that has anything to do with health and wellness. Like, my first line is always like, how can I believe you? Like, show me something that, or how long have you been doing this? How long have you been health and wellness expert?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and what kind of a health and wellness expert are you?
Yeah. What kind of a health and wellness expert? And like, it's frustrating because it's turned the entire industry into like skeptical, like not even worth pursuing for a lot of people. I definitely know I've made that decision before where I'm like, not even interested. If I'm making any health related decision, I'm not putting it online. Mm. I posted a picture of a gym one time and I got my whole world as marketers and business people posted one picture of one like treadmill. I got like 8 messages about advice
oh, wow.
that all led with, you could join my Facebook group or here's my challenge or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I don't even want people to know that I care. which is tough because I feel like it's an industry that really should be more open and honest and have open conversations.
Right.
Because it's like, it really is the difference. Having an open and honest conversation around something could mean the difference of 20 years of somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happened is we've diluted everything so much. You know, marketers and business opportunities and diluted things in a way and structured things in a way. I think for me, that's the bigger frustration. It's not that MLMs are evil, but they're structured in a way that strictly incentivizes the recruiting and the business side of it,
right.
not the product side of it.
Right.
And yeah, so it's just frustrating. But like for me, I think I've gotten to a spot where I know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm able to kind of skirt that and decide on my own or go actually research a product myself and figure out like what's going on.
Right. Yeah. So the takeaway is if you're going to get involved with an MLM.
Yeah. I think for MLMs, like the takeaway is, one, maybe you don't like me anymore. that's fine. You can send your hate mail. There's a contact form on the website. I'm just kidding, but it's like, be aware of what's going on. Everybody, you know, talked about so many things. Like, the reality is people are incentivized to try to persuade you to do something. The good people, you want to listen to them and you want them to be able to persuade you. And then you just like recognize what people are doing and why you're naturally drawn to some people or some opportunities over others, and try to grow in self-awareness of why things are influencing you certain ways. We had talked about different, you know, principles of persuasion or whatever, but I think for me, if there's one thing I could encourage people to walk away with, is you can have control of your life and your decision-making processes. And most people discount the role of media and marketing in how they make decisions. But the reality is it plays a much larger role than you think. Even the quality you go to Best Buy to buy a computer, the reality is even the quality of a salesperson plays a massive role on what you end up getting.
Mm-hmm.
So recognizing like what's going on, what role that person or that advertisement or that video or that endorsement, just recognize what's all going on there and try to become more self-aware of how you're impacted over others and just become aware of what's impacting you so you can actually take control and make decisions that are truly best for you, not just what everybody's being sold.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, if there's a truly great opportunity, they're going to walk you through this process and they're not going to sell you. They're not going to say, this is the right fit for everybody. Everybody should be doing this. They're going to say like, if this is a good fit. I'm going to help you. I want you to understand everything. I'm going to seem like I'm arguing, but I am trying to help you get past any false beliefs you have about this. Because ultimately, I want you to be able to make the best decision possible. And so anybody that says, like, everything, what they're selling is for everybody, that's my big warning flag. Like, run away. That's never true. But, yeah, I think the big takeaway is recognize, like, the role of people in marketing. And I just start to recognize how that's influencing how you make decisions about your life and how that impacts your decisions and your state of mind and your joy and your relationships, whatever. It's just recognize that. You know, I think that's the biggest first step. Once you recognize it, like, the path becomes a lot clearer on how to make better decisions. Mm-hmm. At least it has for me, so.
Any other, like, tips or resources or just some, any, you know, I mean, books or other, you know, tools or things people can be thinking about when they're kind of trying to be cognizant of not getting caught up in the marketing or, you know, like you say, knowing when you're on Facebook, the goal is to, like, keep you there. It's about keeping the screen rolling so they can roll more ads in front of you. I mean, even that awareness can be helpful.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about that. But I'll list a couple of books. There's one that will really shake you if you're on the skeptical side and you like that first half of the conversation and you're at this point and you're going, like, I need to know what I can and can't trust. Help me understand how that actually works, because mm-hmm. I share articles like 6 times a day on Facebook. There's a great book by a guy named Ryan Holiday, and it's called Trust Me, I'm Lying. And he opens the book and he pretty much says, like, hey, this is the story of a media manipulator. He's the guy who would start an article and then create his own controversy and spray paint his own billboards to get crazy amount of viral press coverage around a new movie. Like, that's his gig. And I trust his voice, because his purpose of writing the book, I think you'll probably catch similar overtones where he's like, it is what it is. I don't have an answer, just putting it out there. Mm-hmm. So you recognize what's going on. And so that's a really, really great book. I think the other one, if you're just like, love the psychology of decision making and that role, kind of those principles of persuasion that I talked about. It's a book by Dr. Robert Cialdini. And I think it's called Influence. I'll double check that. We'll put it in the show notes. You have show notes? Yeah.
Yes.
We'll put that for sure. He's got that book. There's another newer book by him called Persuasion. And that's all about kind of before you're actually in the decision-making process. You know, it's one story of it is you walk up to a door and somebody's selling Girl Scout cookies. All the things that go into your decision-making before you're actually having the conversation. You look out your window and you see a little girl. Does her dad have a suit on, or are they both in tattered up and torn up jeans and really dirty and look like they might be homeless? Like, what are all those things that actually influence your decisions before you make decisions?
Right.
Stuff like, is the background of your website plain blue, or is it animated money falling from the sky? Like, all those little things. So both of those books by Robert Cialdini are awesome, as well as the Ryan Holiday book, I think, are great places if this stuff interests you at all.
Well, and like you say, it's also knowing yourself. Because, like, even in your Girl Scout cookie story, some people would go, oh my gosh, they look homeless. We need to buy cookies. You know? And the next person might go, oh my gosh, you know, they're clean cut. Look at the presentation they're providing selling the Girl Scout cookies. The next person would go, oh, for crying out loud, look at that nice business suit you got. And you don't need me to buy any freaking cookies from you. You know? So it is knowing yourself. And then even that mode, like, if you review the decisions you made, you can understand why you made the decision. You know, sometimes it's good to think back on those things.
It's so important. And us as marketers, that's what we do, is we figure out who you are and we're going to give you that kind of ad. So just understanding what business and marketers do and then understanding how you're influenced so you can actually make sure you're controlling all the decisions you make. I think that's so important to having just good mental health and good state of mind and all that sort of stuff. So,
and we are living in a world with Facebook and the algorithms and the data collection of what people, you know, like you say, we didn't talk about Facebook, but we do hear about this on the news occasionally, and obviously with stuff that's happened, but the amount of data that they have and the way that they can sort of speak into our, it's creepy sometimes what you can see come across your screen, or how many platforms of your, you know, electronic devices it goes, it's freaky. So it getting caught up in the, is this a coincidence? Is this a designed coincidence? You know, or do I really just need to look into this, or do I need to no, let that go? And knowing those things is a very personal decision.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else? Oh, let's talk about how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, awesome. So if you want to get a hold of me, if you happen to be a business owner and you want to talk about marketing, great. You can reach out to me. I'll just get over my personal stuff. You can get me at matt@matthewtims.com. That'll go straight to me personally. Or you can find me on pretty much any social platform. You know, my Facebook page, Instagram, pretty much everything is Matthew R. Timms, the username. And you can find me just about anywhere. Or email matt@matthewtims.com. Or my website is matthewtims.com. And pretty easy to find me. So hit me up wherever. I do my best to respond to all messages as quick as possible. So I'm happy to answer any questions, or good or bad, save the hate mail. But I'm okay having a discussion. So if you're like, you're completely wrong, let's have a good discussion around why I was so wrong. Happy to have a good conversation. So.
And all these principles you've mentioned, there's courses on each one of them. I mean, huge stuff, right? So, cool. Well, thank you. This has been fun. Totally. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Again, if you want to get a hold of Matt, he is at matthewtims.com. That's Matthew with two T's and Timms with one M. The books and all of that will be listed on the notes page on the Wellness Run podcast website. Just check under the show. You know, I want to circle back around to the MLM conversation. I know we had a pretty intense conversation about that, and clearly Matt's had some experiences and I've had some experiences. And I just want to say to all of you folks out there doing MLMs, you know, I give you a lot of credit. It's a hard job. And, you know, when you're passionate about your product and you want other people to see it and understand it, I totally get it. It was years ago that I was heavily involved with an MLM, and I met a lot of fantastic people, and I learned a lot about health and wellness. We had some of the best trainings, and I learned a lot about myself and a lot about the fact that the health and wellness was a huge passion for me. And so it put me on a great path with a great base of education. So for that, I am absolutely grateful. That did not make the rest of it easy. And there are some magnificent products out there. And the model, you know, there's a certain aspect that I love about it, of the whole, you know, do something, you have these experiences, you can share it with your family and friends. And there's something about that I love and seems so kind of basic and pure in its ideas of sharing with those we care about. But I think Matt points out a lot of interesting things that the model brings that are certainly challenges. And it's interesting when you take that forward to the fitness industry, the wellness industry, the gym industry, and we think of our advertising and photoshopping, and you know how much that has changed individuals' lives. It's changed the way our culture is shaped. We have eating disorder clinics largely because of marketing. Right? I mean, we've seen stories of other countries that until they got television, everybody was fine. And then they got TVs and all of a sudden women were having eating disorders because of the marketing and various other pieces of that. Some of that marketing is in words and in things that, you know, we are told or read. And some of it is the images that we keep having put in front of us consistently. That, again, as Matt says, really does affect us more than we think it does. I did a project in college, and we were looking at body image. And one of the things that one of my co-teammates was doing is working with the images, the Photoshopped images. And she would be working with them, so she's fully aware of what was Photoshopped and what wasn't. She had both images sitting there, and she says, you know, I absolutely am going into this open-eyed. I know what images are accurate and what aren't. And I'm being taken in and working with the Photoshopped images. The normal images are starting to look wrong to me. So that's just an interesting statement, I think, on how much, again, the subtleties can be very effective. Okay, so I want to get back to telling you about the Patreon level that we're putting together. Yet to be decided as far as what that actually is going, that level amount is going to be. But we talked about the book, Trust Me, I'm Lying. And that's kind of the downer, the bummer side of things, but an important thing for us to know and to realize what is really going on behind the scenes, because it's quite elaborate. And I am quite, I guess, honestly, surprised in some ways how just elaborate, especially when you tie real human beings, the author of this book, to doing these types of things. It's kind of wild. And then the optimistic side of the coin is The Art of Asking by Amanda Palmer. I don't even know how exactly to describe the book. I've read it a few times and I absolutely love it. She speaks directly to me in some of her journeys that she's having about trying to find her place in the world and become comfortable in putting her true self out there. I love that. And so, but it also just speaks to kind of the economy that I'm working in my with my podcast, and it helps people understand just the bigger picture of where things are kind of going, where, you know, we've got the freak out marketing model, but then we have this other whole beautiful model, which is about people and self-expression and transparency and just giving and authenticity and all of that. And I love that. That's much more of the world I want to swim in. So I want to share both of those with you because I think they're both really valuable. So if you would like to support the podcast on that level, whatever that level is, please go to wellnessrenpodcast.com. Look on the left, click on the button that says become a patron, and that's going to bring you to the Patreon page, my Patreon page for Wellness Renaissance, that is going to share that information with you. And you will be able to look on the right side of the screen and learn more about this offer. So please take a moment and take a look at that. Watch Amanda Palmer's TED Talk. It's great. The audiobooks are both read by the authors, by the way. So if you are an audiobook person, I highly recommend both of them. I love reading things in the author's voice or hearing things in the author's voice, just like I like reading people's emails in their voice, too. It's just one I have to work for in my head, and the other one I actually get their authentic voice, which is a whole different deal. Okay, so then the next thing I want to tell you about is June 27th. It is a Thursday evening. It is happening at 5:32, I don't know, probably 9-something, at the Zeitgeist in Duluth. So if you are in Duluth, or you're not, you are welcome to travel, for sure. It's happening at the Zeitgeist in the atrium. And we're going to have a podcast party. And some of those details, we're still working out what that's going to look like. But you can get tickets on the website, wellnessrenpodcast.com. On the left, you're going to see an opportunity to purchase tickets. This is a opportunity that I have to celebrate all of the people who have been on the podcast, everybody who has been willing to spend time with me and let me take their information and their voices into my editing hands and put out in a sense, a piece of art, which is not what we traditionally call a piece of art. But for those of you who have experience editing and pulling things like that together, you understand exactly what I mean. So it's an opportunity for me to share everybody with you, the listeners, the supporters, the sharers of the podcast, all of us to come together and hang out and have a really good time, get to know each other a little bit. We're going to do some sort of a program that is yet to be fully discovered. And it's also a chance for me to say, holy cow, you guys, I've done like 80 some episodes by the time we are there. And that feels like a pretty big accomplishment. That's a lot of work that I've put into this that I am so grateful to be able to do. And I want to keep doing it. So it's also an opportunity by your purchasing a ticket to support the podcast and have a really good time doing it. So more details to come on that. I hope to see you there. I love being able to meet up with people who listen to the podcast, enjoy the podcast, get something out of it, and folks who just support the mission that I'm on, the work that I am trying to do, the culture that I am trying to create, and be a part of that. So thank you very, very much for all of that and for listening to all of that. Please join me on Thursday, June 27th. On that note, thank you so much again for listening. Check out the rest of the podcast episodes at wellnessrenpodcast.com. Here's to you finding the pieces that fit beautifully into your health and wellness puzzle. Have a wonderful week.